Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Today is Sunday, October 15th. You guys, wake up. It's your girl, POC. Welcome to this morning talk radio edition of Revive, man. I got your girl, Harmony, the goddess in the building with me each and every time we jump on these airways for you guys. Man, shout out to everyone who is supporting us. Shout out to everyone who's listening to us right now. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message right now. We are live on Time for an Awakening. .com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to Tune In. You can either download the app or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening right now. We are live on your airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We have a jam-packed show for you guys today. We have some amazing, amazing guests coming on the Revive platform today, yo. We got somebody who is blocked by Donald Trump coming on the Revive platform. I'm extremely excited to be talking with him, man. I want to know, how do you get blocked by Donald Trump? I need to know how you get blocked by Donald Trump. And that's exactly why we're bringing him on the Revive platform, man. His art, what he does, his talent is such, it's just like breathtaking. It's completely breathtaking. So I'm really excited to have him on the Revive platform today, man. Also, shout out to the People's Supper, one of our former guests on the Revive platform. We finally got invited to a People's Supper. They finally had one in the beautiful city of Philadelphia. And me and your girl, Harmony Goddess, got the opportunity to, you know, experience that. So that was a great, great, great feeling. Harmony, how did you feel, man? We went to our first People's Supper dinner yesterday, man. We met some beautiful people, some intelligent people, some very different people. You know what I mean? People we're not used to. But it was an amazing time. They were welcoming, things of that nature. How do you feel about it?
Peace and blessings to the world right now. Good morning. It is Soulful Sunday. Good morning from Revive. But it was definitely an honor to experience the People's Supper. And with Sherry and Ken, they're such great hosts. Such great hosts, and definitely created this space where it's an open, safe space where the conversation just went beyond measure from the start of coming in the door to exiting out of the door. Just a beautiful home. But what I love so much about it was the whole diversity of it. It was people that were 80 years old down to people to 24 years old. So it was so many different perspectives brought on into the conversation. And that's what I loved, because it's sometimes we get so caught up in, this is how it should be, and I'm right, you're wrong, instead of listening to someone. And that was a really great message last night, was listening. Listening to someone and coming from an understanding point, meeting people where they are and trying to understand where they're coming from and trying to find out some solutions as well. So we talked about some solutions as well. And the music. Shout out to the diversity of the music from Ken, just showing me some extra jazz musicians such as John Coltrane. If y'all are not hip to him, he's a great, great jazz musician. Jimmy Scott. So it was a great honor to be there. And then one thing that they spoke about was it's a difference between a bridging supper and then also a healing supper. And I think that's what we are in these times right now, is healing, because we are traumatically distressed and conditioned in so many ways that we don't even realize subconsciously what we're putting on our next generation or our kids after us. And so right now, to bridge the gap or to heal is to just have that open conversation to people, just being open to understand where someone else is coming from. Yes, we don't have the same beliefs, but you know, what do you think about this? How can we come together? And I think America or the world in general is so focused on their own I, and we're stronger together when we come together. So I had a great time.
That, you just broke it down to a T, like a whole science. I hope they got it. I really hope the people who are listening got that. Definitely. Shout out to Harmony the Goddess. You know what I mean? She always got to put her spin on it. I'm definitely feeling it. But yes, yesterday was the People's Supper. The People's Supper is pretty much an organization. They were designed for the first, actually, they were designed for the first 100 days of Donald Trump being, you know, becoming the president. I didn't really want to say it yet, but the president, right? And so pretty much what they did is they're using their actually are doing still to this day, because it did not end once they got to their 100th dinner. But yeah, so what they're doing is they're going around to different cities, you know, in the United States, and they're allowing people to come together. So how I broke it down for some of my friends to understand, it's like a Uber mixed with a little bit of like Airbnb-ish kind of feel, you know, like when random people come together in one common space where someone opens their area or their environment to you to come in, and you just, you know, respect their space in a safe environment. So with this, the People's Supper, you actually bring a potluck. It's like a potluck as well, where you bring different items of your choice, definitely, to the potluck, and you just share a meal. You honestly share a meal and great conversation. And the best part about it is the diversity that's sitting at the table, because it broadens the conversation for everyone. You know, it was someone who was at the age of 81, you know, it was Miss Phyllis, you know, it was a couple there, you know, a husband and wife who were actually the host of the event. Then, you know, it was a African American woman in her mid 40s, her late 40s. Then you have, you know, a young woman who is in her 30s. You know, you have a medical school student. Then you have a young woman who's who just turned 30 with, you know, with kids, and she's experiencing different things too. And it's just like, yo, like, this is amazing, you know. And then Ken, shout out to Ken, he was the only male there, and he was able to, you know, hold his own in a dominant, you know, woman environment last night. So I thought that was pretty dope. So yeah, it's a great experience. So if you are someone who's interested in great conversation and meeting new people, I would definitely advise you to sign up for the People's Supper. All you got to do is Google them, or you can go directly to their website at thepeoplesupper.org, or you can find them on both Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at the People's Supper. I encourage everyone to do it. I promise you, it will change your perspective of, you know, how other people are seeing it. And I play the devil's advocate a lot last night, because I'm like, yo, it's a lot of things that they're saying that I truly, truly did not agree with. So it was like, let's talk about it. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like it wasn't a combative situation either when I disagreed. It was more, I get your point, and I just have this kind of point, you know? So that was kind of the disagreeing to agree kind of method that I really love too as well. So
just come into an understanding, to a midpoint, where it's like, we're not always going to have the same agreements on life situations, but at least we can come to a midpoint to understand it. And then it's so sad, because they also spoke about how some people kind of exit out at the last minute because they didn't, you know, they thought it was going to be a political conversation. And I feel like sometimes you can gear the conversation towards another way. It doesn't always have to be political. Maybe you're not politically educated about it, but you don't have to respond to that. And you can also just kind of gear the conversation towards something else. So you kind of missed out, but hopefully you'll be at the next one at the People's Supper.
Definitely. I agree that if you wasn't there, you wasn't supposed to be there anyway. You know, it sometimes, you know, things happen for a reason. Right. So definitely. Sorry for there, you know, they lost out. But right now we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Make sure you guys tune in. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at revive_POC. Once again, that's revive_POC. And definitely subscribe to that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Revive newsletter. I need you guys to subscribe right now. Go to timeforanawakening.com/revive. Scroll down until you see this big white word that says subscribe. Click that link right there. It's going to take you exactly where you need to be in order to subscribe to that newsletter. It keeps you in the loop for whatever we're doing here in Revive and everything that we're doing going forward in the future. You definitely want to stay in the loop here in Revive, because guess what, you guys, we are growing each and every day. We're also going to be in Philly today. We're going to be jumping in the community today in Philly. We're going to the JB John in Southwest Philly today, man. Freeway going to be performing. This is going to be a big event for the city of Philadelphia. I think it's going to be great. I hope the weather holds up, man. Fall finally hit, though. Shout out to fall. Shout out to this hoodie season, man. I know everybody got their Tims on right now. I mean, I'm seeing butters from left to right. Everybody. And you know, we in 2017, so they get real colorful nowadays. You got the pink ones, the red ones, the green ones. I'm like, they got all color Tims nowadays. I'm like, yo, what is going on? I've never seen a pair of blue Tims until I got to the city of Philadelphia, man. And Philly, this is what they do. I swear they wear the Tims. But yes, shout out to this hoodie season. Shout out to fall. But I hope the rain goes away. I hope everybody in Southwest right now is doing the rain dance, because I'm trying to get to this JB John. I'm trying to see Freeway, man. It's Freeway in the place. Yeah, yes, I'm trying to get there. Definitely. I'm trying to have some great interviews, connect with some great people. I'm trying to make my net worth. Shout out to everyone down there who is putting this together in the community, because this is a community event. So I think this is going to be really, really dope. The address, once again, is 5400 Lee Byrne Boulevard, Philadelphia, PA 19143. It starts at 3 p.m. and it ends at 6. So don't meet me there. Beat me there, because I will be in the place, man. I'm pulling up to the JB John. Yo, I sound so retarded saying John. I'm like, John. I'm trying hard not to mess it up. You know what I'm saying? Because I be getting played. I be like, yeah, John. They be like, no, you don't sound right. It's not for you. I'm like, all right, Mo. You know what I'm saying? All right, Mo. But yes, I'm pulling up today. Yo, Philly, stand up. This is going to be a great one. This is a free event. It's going to be food trucks, hay rides, drumming, art galleries, and different. There's going to be so many different vendors out there as well. You can also register to vote. Shout out to the registration to vote, you guys. Man, make sure you guys go down there to register to vote as well. That's important. It's coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up, especially in the city of Philadelphia. If you want to change something, this is your time to change it with the local elections, you guys. The local elections. What you guys say, Harmony? You over here, nigga. Like, I got something to say. All right, what you about to say?
No, I was just going to ask you, tell the people, why do you feel as though as a millennial, why is it important to vote or to have this idea of I'm putting someone in office? Why is that important for them to even go out and vote? Because a lot of people don't even want to vote, being that whoever's in office right now, or they don't really know too much about politics. So they're like, I'm shy away from it. But why is it so important for people to vote, POC?
Thank you for throwing me under the bus. I appreciate it. I was just trying to get hype about the event tonight, and you just, you know what I'm saying, just took it all political. That's why they ain't want to show up last night, because people like you. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why they ain't want to come to the dinner, because you always got to throw it out there. I mean, all right. So it's important to vote, because at the end of the day, those are the people who are in the position of power at that time to make different legislative, you know, and executive decisions for us, bills, policies, laws, all of that for us as a community. And we have to live in this community. We pay taxes in this community. You know what I mean? We work in this community and things of that nature. So by us not, you know, voting, we are allowing any and everyone to come in and, you know, pretty much, you know, make that decision for us. And that's not truly what we believe as a community, what should actually happen. So that's why I feel as though we should vote on a local level, but on a presidential level and things of that nature, my answer may vary from, you know, depending on how I feel. Yes. And candidate, I agree with you there. But yes, we do have a caller on the line, so I want to get to this caller. Definitely. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's going on? It's E from She Rockin' City.
She Rockin'. What it do? How you feeling?
I'm all right. You know, I'm all right. I'm actually about to move down there in that Philly direction. So, you know, I'm going to need you to keep letting me know about these events that's popping off on this show. You know what I'm saying?
But, got you.
Hey, about your voting thing, right?
Uh-huh. Talk to me.
You don't think that you should address, since you want, you know, talk about voting, you don't think that you should address that Donald Trump was not elected, he was appointed, because, you know, there was more votes for Hillary?
That's why I said if it's that's why I said if it was on a presidential level, you know, my sentiments may vary, you know, based on, you know, a candidate or definitely just the year that it doesn't even have to do with the morals, just the year that, you know, the actual, you know, election is being held. I think you know, over time it just became watered down, and over time it just became more exposed to how false, you know, our system really is and how many lies that they actually tell us over and over again. So yes, I will address it, but I just didn't want to take it all the way there. But if you want to address it, please do. I would love to hear your opinion.
Yeah, because what I wanted to say about it is, you know, if they're going to do it on a large scale and give us the numbers and say, you know, because basically what just happened was they just said, and they did it on a larger scale. Now, I could see if they did it on a smaller scale, you know, it wasn't that. But this is the presidential election we talking about. So if they going to do it then and give us the numbers, because we can all do math, you know what I mean? And then mm-hmm. for those who can't, your iPhone has the calculator, and, you know, just in case y'all ain't know. But, you know, they gave us the mathematics for it on a large scale, you know, countrywide election. And they basically said, well, we put him in there anyway, you know? So if they doing that on a large scale, who's to say they ain't just appointing people, you know what I mean? Where in the smaller scale, you know, in the community that we live in, where the taxes that we pay are direct.
Uh-huh. But the thing about it is people are not educated on that. So people wouldn't even know, you know, that their taxes is being used for, you know, X, Y, and Z. You have to understand, you know, where your money is going. You also have to understand the system in order to even, you know, get the subconscious mind of thinking like, yo, where's my money actually going? You know, I'm putting my money into the system, but where, how's it being distributed? So you have to be educated on that to even get that kind of thought pattern that you're speaking of, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And I see where you're coming from with that. You know, you don't want more people thinking that, you know, voting doesn't matter, because that's how I felt when I seen the numbers on that presidential one. You know, it was like it was basically like, in, you know, insulting my intelligence, but not by accident, or, you know, it was more like a what you going to do about it type thing. You know, and you know, the person from the ghetto inside me, you know what I mean, was like, oh, who is you talking to? But, you know, on the same note, without nobody else, without us, you know, coming together, we can't do anything with them. They have a whole system. Mm-hmm. You know, they have cabinets and Congress, and, you know, they have branches. We don't got no branches. You know, we know each other. We socialize. We find common things that we have in common and build off that. You know, they have a common purpose,
right? And then
not just common thoughts.
And then I also think it's about us jumping in and joining the movement. So we have to run for candidates, and we have to be in a community. It starts with us as well, because we can't depend on the political party always, but also we have to depend on our community and just see where we can help and where we can fit in to make a difference in this world, because everybody's not going to always be for the people, but at least the people can be for the people. And I think it starts with us as well, definitely.
Definitely, definitely. Because how, like, same thing, right? Let's put it in layman's terms, mm-hmm. right? You're not gonna stand by somebody's side and argue for somebody and fight for them if they're not fighting for themselves, right?
Right.
So when we appoint these people and we vote for these people and they appoint these people, you know, if they see we won't lift a finger, and literally that's what voting is, pressing a button, lifting a finger. You know, if we ain't lifting a finger to do for ourselves, how could we even expect somebody to do for us?
Yo, but think about it this way, though. And this is something that I said last night when I was at the People's Supper dinner, because we, you know, we had a little sidebar about voting and things like that and how we feel as millennials. Right. So when I'm thinking about voting, especially how this 2016 election turned out, I start thinking and digging a little more deeper into voting. And then like my mind just start working on a whole nother level. Right. So check this out. We vote for people. Right. Our initial vote is to vote someone in to vote for things that are going to affect us. You know what I'm saying? So my mindset is saying that why are we not just allowed to vote for the initial problem itself? So if, you know, if there's a problem about, you know, the Affordable Care Act and, you know, I'm thinking this should happen, you know, people who have a disability problem prior to, you know, a preconditioned problem should be able to stay on their medical insurance and things of that nature. I feel as though that should happen, right? Why can't I just vote for that problem myself? Why do I have to vote for someone to vote for me because that's how I feel? So that's how I also think that the system is kind of sort of getting over, because we're allowing other people to influence how we truly feel based on a vote when we can vote for ourselves. And I know that's a very far-fetched, you know, way of thinking, and it's probably never going to happen anytime soon. But I think that if the federal government just gives the citizens, we the people who actually pay for the taxes, who pay taxes for these, you know, committees and different organizations and nonprofit organizations and things like that to pop off, and then at the end of the day the president has all right to just say, oh no, we're cutting Meals on Wheels, we're cutting this program, we're cutting this art program. But what if I'm in my city, in my community, and I feel strongly about this? I don't want my councilman or my councilwoman to vote against this, even though, you know, I voted for them because 75% of what they stand for actually matters, but the other 25% I didn't like it, but I had no one else to vote for. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard for me as a millennial to trust the justice system, because at the end of the day, no candidate is going to be 100%, you know, on my side. There is always going to be some part of them that I'm not just feeling. But if I can just vote for myself, I mean, hey, like, why can't I do that? I just pay money to, you know, I work every day to make a vote, you know. So why can't I vote for this? Why can't I vote for my street to get done faster than, you know, Rodeo Boulevard? Why can't Martin Luther King come down there and get flipped around, you know, but Rodeo Boulevard looking good, H Street down DC looking rough? I'm looking good, I'm sorry, but we go to Glenarden and we got potholes in our streets. You know what I'm saying? So it's just different. It's just my different way of thinking when it comes to the voting system. And I'm sorry, I went on a tangent, but I hope you get what I was trying to say, though.
Consider this, right? Now, when you, basically what that is, that's a middleman system, right? And, the fact, this is how damaged we are as a system, okay? When we have to, instead of saying, that's a candidate I can stand behind, no. Well, how we have to do it is, well, that's the lesser of two evils, so we're going to go with that. Let's be honest. How many people really wanted to vote for Hillary?
No one. That's why she lost. I said no one. That's why she lost, honestly.
I know about three people, right? One of which is my aunt, who is 70-plus, okay? And, you know, everybody, for y'all that don't know, I'm half white, okay? And that's my white family, all right? I know her and her two friends that actually wanted to vote for Hillary, okay? Her and her two homegirls. Now, everybody else I know, it was on some, I don't know who I'm voting for, I'm just not voting for Trump. Which, so basically what they did was, right, they had a candidate that they people could stand behind. We had several candidates that split our party up. So what is that called? Divide and conquer.
Exactly.
Right? In its most basic form.
Exactly.
Because if we not all standing behind one person like they was, how many Trump supporters you see? And you know they get ignorant too.
Definitely. I agree with you,
Trump
though.
Supporters.
Definitely. Yo, E, thank you for bringing up this conversation, but we do got to get to our guest today. And I kind of blame Harmony for bringing up this topic, but it was a great conversation, though. I appreciate it, though. Hey, call in and definitely stay tuned, because our next guest, Nicholas Smith, he's amazing, amazing, amazing artist. He has, you know, worked with people such as Disney, things of that nature. So I would definitely encourage you to stay tuned. And if you're feeling froggy, jump. I would say call in and ask him a couple questions, because he's a great artist and everything that he does is amazing. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be going to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be talking with our next guest here on Revive. Shout out to E for always calling in, man. He's a loyal homie, man. He's a number one supporter. Did y'all see him on Instagram flexing with the Russell Brand gear on, though? I was like, yes. Shout out to the strong supporter. She rocking each and every day. But yes, we're going to be going to a quick commercial break. Right after this commercial break, we'll be talking with our first guest, Nicholas Smith. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC.
easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if disaster strikes without warning? What if the life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today, learn how at www.ready.gov, brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Yes, 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 yes. We are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Spread the word, spread the message. Also, you can follow us right now on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at revive_POC. Once again, that is revive_POC. Shout out to all the youth out there right now. Today is Youth Day. I had to give a shout out to the youth. I believe in saving the youth each and every day. So definitely shout out to the youth for Youth Day, National Youth Day. Go look it up. Go tell somebody you love them. Go look at a child and just give them a hug. You know what I'm saying? Just give them a hug real quick. And definitely, I just got some bad news as well. Shout out to True Heart with the facts. Somalia just has was hit by the most deadliest attack ever. They're saying about 231 people have been killed and over 300 people injured. And this is something I believe that happened this morning. And that's, yeah, so my thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Somalia right now. This is crazy. This is getting out of hand. This is definitely getting out of hand. This is not even a natural disaster. This is a bomb. It says a massive bomb attack in a busy part of Somalia was hit. And it killed over, 231 people. So that's, yeah, crazy. So definitely do your research on that. I definitely have to do my research when the show is over because I got to get, more facts on that one. But definitely shout out to True Heart for holding this down. Shout out to Talia Vina. Also, Keith Taylor and Tab Money, the entire Revive team. But let's get into this next guest. We have your boy, Nicholas Smith. I'm really excited to be talking with him, man. He is blocked by Donald Trump. Oh, my gosh. I have to know, what did he do to get blocked by Donald Trump? This is exciting, man. Yo, Harmony, who we got coming up on the Revive platform?
Definitely. So thoughts and prayers definitely go to Somalia. But up next, we have Nicholas Smith, a native of Houston, Texas, is a Master of Architecture recipient from Hampton University and theme park designer, concept artist at Walt Disney Imagineering. He currently assists in the current concept development, design, and construction of Disney parks in Florida, California, Hong Kong, and Shanghai. After hours, Nicholas also leads in youth mentoring every Saturday morning with the kids of Compton Watts, California, giving lessons in Photoshop, painting, and life in general. He has so many accomplishments, and it's so great to have you on Revive. Welcome to Revive, Nicholas Smith.
Hey. Hello, hello. How's it going?
How are you? How are you, man? I'm really excited to be talking with you today, Nicholas. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling great. Thanks for having me.
No doubt. And I know Harmony just said, you know, a little bit about you, but I would love for you to go ahead and introduce yourself to the people so they know exactly who we're speaking with today.
Yeah, so my name is Nicholas Smith. Like you said, I work at Walt Disney Imagineering. I do a lot of 3D modeling and concept art in the architecture group. I've been here for 9 years now. Came from Hampton University out in Virginia.
Awesome.
And before that, Houston, Texas, born and raised.
That's amazing. That's 9 years at Walt Disney. I know that's a great fun day every morning you go to work, definitely. But before we get started, how is everything in Houston? How is your family? How is everything? Is your family okay? Do you still have family in that area?
Yeah, all my family actually is in Houston, and they're always trying to get me to move back to Houston. But they had a pretty rough time with, you know, with the flooding and everything. My sister lost pretty much everything. Most of my family was okay. You know, there was a little bit of damage here and there, but, you know, thankfully it wasn't too catastrophic. But yeah, it was a rough couple of weeks there.
Okay. Were you able to get back there?
You know, rebuilding.
Were you able to get back to Houston at that time that everything was going on?
No, it was pretty much like, no, don't even try to, you know, even try to fly in. It's a mess. And it's like everybody sitting in their homes just kind of waiting it out, you know.
That makes sense. That makes trying to figure everything out. Definitely. I've been talking with some people from Houston as well, and they've been saying the same, just trying to figure out and get into this rebuilding stage. So, but I'm glad to hear that your family is okay. I do hope your sister, you know, I hope she bounced back really fast. That's you know, that's hard to take,
for
you know.
Sure.
Definitely.
But at least for being in, you know, being in California, it was tough because like I feel like I wanted to do something. I didn't get to go there, but I was glad that I was at least able to like create some art and partner with Southwest Airlines. And,
awesome.
Kind of had this like t-shirt thing going where, you know, all the proceeds go directly to Houston or Florida.
Where can we find that t-shirt? Awesome. I would love to see that t-shirt. Where can we find that t-shirt at?
Good question. It's on my Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. And find that for
us.
It's
kind of like running through some of the employees. So I would have to, I can get you a link.
Okay, please do. I would love to support you guys in that way. That's dope. And you're an artist at that. So to know that, you know, you can do something as creative as, you know, making a t-shirt and that can still help, you know, because some people think that, you know, you have to donate millions of dollars of food, you know, but doing something as simple as a t-shirt and, you know, having people come together. Yeah, we just actually found it. Awesome. It was the Texas state symbol. Is that correct?
Yeah, so,
awesome.
Yep, it was, I kind of just wanted
to
do a very simple state of Texas and then kind of with my digital pen, you know, give the feeling of the waves and the, you know, kind of an abstract feel.
That's dope. We're actually looking at it right now in the studio. That's amazing. But, you know, my question that I wanted to, you know, I just got to get out. I got to get it out of my system. How did you get blocked by Donald Trump? Like, how did you do that? That's an award. Like, that's a prize. How did you get that? How did you receive that?
That's funny. funny. So at the beginning of this year, I decided that I was going to tweet at Donald Trump every day. You may or may not know this, but he loves Twitter.
Oh, yes, and, yes, definitely.
So I said I was going to tweet at him every day. So I've been sending him, you know, I send him tweets every day. And he reads the stuff. And, you know, if there's something that he doesn't like, then, you know, it'll get on his radar. Basically, what I did was I turned on mobile notifications. So whenever he tweets, I get a message, and then I tweet right back. So for anyone out there, if you're looking for a way to get on his nerves, turn on mobile notifications, and then you can, you know, send him stuff.
So what were you saying, though? What kind of stuff were you, like, saying? How were you responding? How were you replying to, you know, certain tweets? Like, what did he say to get, you know, a kick out of you in order for you to respond to him?
Yeah, I mean, most of the stuff that he talks about it really has to do with, you know, how profiting off of people who are hurting, how it's a good thing. And I'm really at odds with that whole notion. And a lot of times I'll just, you know, state the facts, like, Flint still doesn't have water, or
it's facts.
They are helping,
facts.
But you know, this isn't working. This is still broken. The roads are still crumbling. Like, you said you were going to fix this, you're not fixing it, you know? And so a lot of times it's just simple stuff like that.
That's so you just got his attention.
Tweeting at him kind of a simple message every day, which is to say that, if you preside in love, then America will love you. And if you keep spreading your hate, then if you keep spreading fear, then, you know, the people are going to hate you. Mm. And so it's kind of like a make your decision. What kind of legacy do you want to leave as a president? Do you want to be the most hated, you know, the worst president ever? Or do you want to actually do something to, you know, make the situation better? So, okay, so that happened for 266 days, and then he decided that he wants to go on a rant about the NFL players and how they should stand for the anthem and everything like that, and how that was unpatriotic. And so I responded to him on that day. I said, actually, you're actually under a criminal investigation for treason, and yes, that is unpatriotic if we want to talk about what's
facts.
Unpatriotic. And then I put hashtag you bum, which LeBron
yeah.
And then hashtag take a knee. And that got about 1,500 retweets. And I checked back in about 30 minutes and I was blocked.
And I was blocked. That's amazing, man. That's, and the fact that, you know, the president has that much time to even, you know, take a look at your tweets is amazing. The fact that, you know, he has recognized you as someone who is not, you know, not with him and who is against him is amazing, you know, because he thinks everyone is with him. You know, in his mind, he thinks the American people just honestly, truly love what he's doing. So the fact that he recognized that you're not with him is great. And that means you're saying something that is getting under his skin. And then also to understand that how much power social media really has, no matter what kind of, you know, power structure environment you're in, it really still has that much power. You know what I mean? Like, that is huge. And by you being blocked, it's just an eye opener. Like, yo, any and everyone can get blocked by Donald Trump because he's paying that much attention. You know, he doesn't care about what's going on in North Korea. He doesn't care what's going on in Puerto Rico. He'd rather, you know, make sure that no one's disrespecting him on the internet. You know, that's more important to him. But and also what you do is to, you know, shake it up a little bit with your art. You also do that as well because you're an artist. You know, we have yet to touch on the fact that you are an artist, but yes, your art, especially with how you flip the script with the whole Martin Luther King and Trayvon Hoodie message, I thought that was, you know, empowering. And you got a lot of great feedback from it. You even got to sit down with Dr. King's niece and, you know, have a conversation. How was that feeling?
Yeah, that was an amazing week, because that was the the first day that the Black Lives Matter movement began is about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, you know, George Zimmerman was found not guilty for killing Trayvon Martin. And this was the piece that I put out kind of in response. You know, just it's one of the most simple pieces that I've ever made. It's Martin Luther King and then Photoshop a hoodie on Martin Luther King. That's- and it was just to speak on his message that you're not, we shouldn't be judging people for their exterior.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people were, you know, outraged that I put a hoodie on Martin Luther King. I was actually at Disneyland just chilling, having a good time. And I got a notification that the art was on CNN. So, like, apparently Van Jones had retweeted it. And then it was all over the place. And then, within a day or two, like, I was, you know, on there talking with Dr. King's niece and just talking about how important it was to actually understand the main essence of Dr. King's message.
Exactly, the message behind it all. Even, you know, even if you want to put it in a layman's term message and not even use, you know, Dr. King's message, you can just say simply that, you know, you never know who is, you know, under that hoodie. You never know. You know what I mean? It can be a doctor, a lawyer. It can be, you know, an actual criminal. It can be, you know, someone's father. It can be, you know, someone's dad, someone's uncle. You know, it doesn't matter who is under that hoodie. We are all the same is the point in the image that, you know, you're looking at with the, you know, a black man in a hoodie. The fact that scares you or you have fear of that image is, you know, something that you should look into yourself more, you know, more to say than look outwards. Yeah. I think that's an internal feeling that you should look into, honestly, truly. So just to put it in layman's terms, it shouldn't matter who's in that hoodie. You know, we're all the same, definitely. Right. And how has your art, has it affected you in your workplace at all? Because, you know, you work at Disneyland, which is such a happy, happy, go lucky place, you know, where it's just fairy tales and fantasy lands and things of that nature. But you actually create real art. You actually create art that carries deep, thoughtful messages and things of that nature. So has your art ever got in, to interfere with your actual work, your day to day at Disneyland?
Yeah, I definitely have two hats that I have to wear, and one of them is the Disney employee hat, and the other one is the activist, you know, art activist Nicholas Design hat. And so it's tough to balance, but, you know, pretty much everyone at the company at Disney is very supportive of what I do. They're all supportive. There is a line drawn in terms of, like, you know, legal issues and things like that, where it's like, I have to keep my personal art separate. I can't, you know, I have to make sure that there's no Disney affiliation in any way. But, you know, especially for the MLK hoodie piece, it was like, make sure that it's, because, you know, like, BuzzFeed did an article and all these other places, and, you know, the first thing that they put is Disney artist Nicholas Smith. And I'm like, no, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to call me out as a Disney artist. But it's tough, but I can't. Disney understands, and I appreciate them. They understand that it's not something that I can just, like, take off. You know, when I walk in to work, like, it's part of me, part of who I am. So, you know,
That's cool though. And I think I'm actually happy that they don't, you know, try to hinder you from being your authentic self. And I'm happy that you are still in a position where you can be your authentic self. So, you know, that's huge. Mm-hmm. You can still, you know, work at a, you know, a huge company and still be yourself and walk in your own walk. So that's huge. But once again, we are speaking with Nicholas Smith himself right now on Revive Radio. You can tune into us right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also go to TuneIn. You can download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hit Meet Your Girl POC live on your airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And right now, our guest on the line, we are speaking with Nicholas Smith. Right. So, Nicholas, today is Youth Awareness Day. Today is Youth Awareness Day. So in honor of Youth Awareness Day, what is your favorite cartoon? Tell us about your favorite cartoon and why. You know, when you were a youth, or even to this day, you know, because you definitely work at Disneyland, so you still are around the most, you know, popular characters out there. But definitely tell us your favorite cartoon, and then tell us your favorite character by you working at Disney.
Oh man, my favorite cartoon. As a kid, it was probably Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, wow. That's dope. That says a lot about you. Dope.
and that and Animaniacs.
Yeah. Are you a 90s baby?
80s.
80s. Okay. Awesome. 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 Yeah. So you are a millennial, though. Thank you. I appreciate that answer.
Yeah.
Pinky in the Brain. That's Cartoon Network for sure. That's definitely when Cartoon Network was popping. Yeah.
Google it, kids. Research.
And who's your favorite character?
Oh, man. Man. It was. Which one of the Animaniacs? Let me see. Wacko? He was like the little brother. It's a long time ago.
Oh, man.
Probably Wacko.
Have you ever drawn Wacko before?
Oh, yeah. I used to just... The kids don't even have Saturday morning cartoons anymore.
They don't.
This is an issue.
This is an issue. But you are someone, you know, who... Do you do different anime and things like that? I know you do architecture, but that doesn't fall in the same line of it. But do you do any kind of, you know, anime or anything of that nature?
Not so much. I do all kinds of different styles. Sometimes it leans a little anime, but mostly I'm in the children's book mode lately, so
awesome.
I do a lot of like more kind of like bobblehead kind of cutesy kitty art styles.
I get you. Do you ever get a chance to dabble with Pixar a little bit by you being at Walt Disney? Do you ever get a chance to, you know, get on the Pixar side of things?
Yeah, I did a art piece of the Obama family as the Incredibles, and that was probably one of my biggest art pieces. And that just simply taking the Incredibles and like, you know, editing and you know, creating a black family that is a superhero family was like something that people really wanted, and they you know, loved it and shared it. And then Pixar called me at work, which was crazy. And I thought they were going to be mad, but they told me that they loved it. You know, it was really cool. They took me on a little tour of the campus. They're up in the Bay Area.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that was.
And you also really flipped it. You also flipped it too with Congresswoman Maxine Waters with Reclaiming My Time. So I thought that was super dope too. You did like a little Incredibles thing with her too. So that's dope. But we do got a call on the line, Nicholas. Let's see if they have a question for you. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
How you doing? It's Ethan from She Rockin' City again.
What's up? You called back. How you feeling?
All right, so for my man Nicholas Smith, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
All right, so POC just asked you about anime, right? And you know, I'm a writer, you know, as well as I write lyrics, you know, for rap. But I also, you know, I write stories and stuff like that. And you know, I've been working on, because I'm a big fan of anime myself. And you know, I always wanted to see some black folks in anime, and the closest we got to that was Afro Samurai and you know, the people from the Cloud Village in Naruto, right? So I wanted to create, I actually have this idea, and I wanted to know, you know, if I could you know, run the synopsis past you through your email and stuff like that. But basically I could you know, in a nutshell, you know, it's a you know, a black woman, she goes through tragedy, and Mother Nature gives her her powers, you know what I mean? And she can, you know, create storms and all of that. Do you think you could draw something like that?
I try to, you know, find as many stories as I can that are, you know, interesting and that I feel like producers will want to see. And then I'm always up for challenges like that. It could happen, yeah.
Because like I get inspiration for things like that because I want to make a strong black woman lead character for anime. And because, you know, stuff like Ghost in the Shell, they had a strong woman, but she wasn't a black woman.
Yeah.
You know, I want to embody the strength of black women in a show for people like me, myself, you know, because I use anime as an extension of my intelligence. You know, I try to, when the situations are first brought out, you know, through the illustration and stuff like that, because that's a huge part of it. You play a huge part in what I'm trying to do.
That's awesome. So, E, what we're going to try to do is when we allow Nicholas to give himself a shout-out, he's going to shout-out his social media where you can find him, and then at that point you'll be able to, you know, connect with him that way. So, Nicholas, make sure you give out your social media, too. No doubt. Thank you for calling in. So, Nicholas, just if you can go ahead and just shout-out your social media so the people know where they can find you on social media, that'll be awesome. So if they want to connect, they can connect that way.
Okay, cool, yeah. I am on Twitter at 4, and then my name, Nicholas, N-I-K-K-O-L-A-S. And then everything else is pretty much Nicholas.com because my mom gave me a very interesting way of spelling Nicholas, so www.N-I-K-K-O-L-A-S.com. And then, you know, Nicholas_Smith for Instagram, all that good stuff. And, yes. You know, if you
thank you for that,
ideas, shoot me something.
Definitely, thank you for that. But Nicholas, before we let you go, I also want you to dabble a little bit into how you do architecture. Do you do some designs for actual, you know, Disney the theme park? Do you actually design any of the buildings and things of that nature that's, you know, at the theme park today?
Yeah, everything that I work on at Imagineering is. It leads to the creation of either castles or main street facades or any building that might have a ride inside of it or basically anything with walls at the theme park. So one of the latest things we worked on was Shanghai Disneyland, and that was over a 5-year project where, you know, we're basically creating a theme park from the ground up.
That's amazing. So, I know work is fun, man. I know you guys just sit around and just come up with creative ideas as you guys tell corny jokes. Like, I just know it's just a great time. Honestly, truly, I just know it's a great time, though. But what has been your hardest project, you know, working at whatever theme park? What has been your hardest project so far?
I would say it would have to be Shanghai because that was the longest project that I've been on so far. I was on the Adventure Isle team, which is basically creating more of a jungle-themed attraction where there's a challenge trail and you put on a harness and you go up on a bridge and you can actually, like, walk over the waterfall and into the mountain and all this stuff. And
awesome.
It takes a lot of modeling. You know, all these hundreds of sticks and ramps and bridges and platforms and everything that you can touch, everything that you can step on, it all has to be modeled in the computer. So
I have a question.
Yeah, just
does this tune in? I mean, does this like kind of, you know, combine itself with STEM? Like, do you feel like you have to be, you know, with engineering, science, technology, math, all of that in order to be a part of, you know, the world that you are in right now? Because you called it Imagineering, correct?
Yeah, Walt Disney Imagineering. It is a interesting blend of the concept and the creative side and then also engineering. So it was a huge help for me that I, you know, got my Master of Architecture at Hampton and actually, when I was at Hampton,
we found out about
this competition called Imagination, which, if you know, if you're in college, you know, you can sign, you can enter the Imaginations competition and basically design something for Disney theme parks. And then, you know, you might get a chance to make it out. If you make it to the finals, then, you know, you have a chance to come and compete. So
that's awesome. And definitely shout out to the HBCUs as well. I appreciate you going to get your master's from an HBCU. Definitely. But I appreciate having you on today, Nicholas. I really, really do. But before I let you go, Harmony really wants to ask you a question about your youth organization that you do on Saturday.
Yeah. So I absolutely love your design. You are amazing innovator. I think you're an amazing innovator and continue to thrive. So that's definitely what I would like to say, is to continue to thrive, because you are very empowering and inspiring as well. But what I did want to say, because I did read about how you mentor students on Saturday mornings, teaching them about Photoshop and other designs, and you also do superheroes as kids. So if you could kind of tell the audience a little bit more about that would be amazing.
Yeah, so the kids of Watts, we started Red Eye is a nonprofit that I kind of do youth mentoring with on the weekends. And I mean, Red Eye went into Watts, California over 10 years ago, and you know, it's been just constantly being in the community and not only teaching them, but like learning from them and how much love and joy that they have. It's amazing. But we like to go in and just really, there's not even a specific agenda. Sometimes it's just going in and just listening to the kids and talking to the kids. And, you know, there's some type of statistic that says that if these kids don't get a certain amount of words that they hear by a certain age, then they're already predicted to, you know, fail in school. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't get all of the training that they deserve. They don't get a lot of the education that I feel like they need. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we'll just go and, you know, we might bring some art supplies and draw. We might, you know, I always try to bring some fruit, because, you know, they need good food.
Charge up the
spirit. We're working on getting some gardens out there so that they can plant and grow food. But yeah, it's just a continual, you know, growing with the community and you know, trying to level the playing field so that they can have some of the stuff that I've been afforded.
And you know how else you did that? With another one of your drawings, and I'm starting to stretch it out a little bit more, but with another one of your drawings that you did with Donald Glover, and Lena Wade. I thought that was huge. Like how you mixed that up with the whole Oscar theme and everything. How did you come up with that drawing? That's something that was talked about, you know, for a very, very long time, and still was talked about.
Yeah.
That drawing. How did you do that? Like, how did you come up with that idea?
I have this series called Sunday Sketch. So I take a couple hours and just create a piece every Sunday, and so it always falls on like an award day. So there's, you know, I'm always waiting to see, you know, who makes it big and who makes history. And, you know, I've worked with Lena on like for various projects like Dear White People and things like that. And so I was super supportive of her, and, you know, she made history. So I was like, okay, I gotta, and a lot of times I try to create, it's almost like a children's book style where, you know, very fun, playful, you know, these are Black people that are making history. And just I want to show that joy that they have and, you know, showing the world that they can do anything. So I had to.
That's what's up, Nicholas.
I did a quick little sketch.
I appreciate you, and I know everyone out there who would like just honestly, truly just loves your art. I know they appreciate you as well. I can't wait till you, you know, just is in like the Sunday Post every Sunday, and I can just pick up my newspaper and I can just read something from you, you know, through your art. I just love everything you're doing. You know, you're young, black, talented, and gifted. That's an amazing, you know, feeling just to know that. And not even like how you're trying to hold it to yourself, because you're putting it out there for the community. You're even doing it, you know, through mentoring young kids and, you know, going back and teaching them different things that, you know, you necessarily didn't get at a young age or whatever that may be. That's just awesome. That's truly, truly awesome. And I thank you for once again for coming on Revive and supporting us here. We're going to continue to support you. Please email me that link when you get a chance. I would love to get one of those t-shirts to support you as well. And I hope everything in Houston goes well too. I hope you can continue to, you know, partner with different people in the city of Houston to make sure that that rebuilding stage, you know, is going to happen sooner than later, definitely. So shout out to you, and I encourage everyone who is listening to us right now to go to nicholas.com and just browse through the website, man. I promise you, you will be breathtaking. So definitely shout out to you, Nicholas, and I hope you have a great week.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No doubt. Have a good one. So that wraps up another great interview here on Revive with Nicholas Smith. I encourage everyone to go check out nicholas.com right now. It is a great, great, great website where it just breaks down everything that he does over there at Walt Disney. Man, he's an amazing, amazing, amazing artist. He even has some links up there where you can see different interviews. One of the interview highlights the time where he got to speak with Dr. King's niece. I think that that's amazing. You know, people are out here working. People are out here doing it in different ways. You know, they're standing up and speaking out in different ways. And to know that he's doing it through art, and especially with that, you know, that Martin Luther King, the Incredible Ones, with the Obama family. I truly, truly love Maxine. Man, I'm a huge fan of Maxine, Congresswoman Maxine Waters. You know, he put that Reclaiming Your Time in there for everybody to understand what that truly meant. So shout out to Nicholas Smith once again. But we are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right at this commercial, we'll be right back on Revive. Tune in. We're on your airwaves until 1 p.m. today on this beautiful Sunday. Wake up, wake up, wake up. If you're still sleeping, you're tripping. It's noon. Wake up, people. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, PLC.
All across America, people dream of home ownership. Your race, national origin, color of your skin should not affect your dream of owning a home. All too often, lenders target minorities and minority communities with bad loan products, destroying dreams and ruining lives. Lending discrimination is unlawful. If you believe a lender has targeted you with a bad loan, call HUD at 1-800-669-9777. Or go to HUD's website, hud.gov/fairhousing. HUD. One call, many answers.
Hydrogen cyanide, carbon monoxide. These are just a few of the 7,000 chemicals that can be traced from cigarettes. Tobacco-related deaths are expected to rise to around 8 million annual deaths worldwide by the year 2030. Put down the cigarette and don't be one of those people.
Thank you. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey! It's your girl POC.
And we are back live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC. I'm live on your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I want to know what you guys are thinking. The question of today, the question of the day today, yo, because today is Youth Awareness Week, you know what I mean? Today starts off Youth Awareness Week, I'm sorry. So in honor of Youth Awareness Week, I want to know, you know, what is everyone's favorite cartoon? I want to know what is everyone's favorite cartoon. The question of the day is, what is your favorite cartoon? Because we want to bring it back. And Nicholas brought it all the way back. He went to Pinky and the Brain. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like that takes it all the way back to the Cartoon Network days. You know what I'm saying? So that's amazing to know that, you know, we have different millennial at different stages who are, you know, feeling different cartoons. So I want to know what you guys are feeling out there. So the question of the day, in honor of Youth Awareness Week, we are starting it off here on Revive with, what is your favorite cartoon? Yo, Harmony, what's your favorite cartoon? And the number is 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. Or you can tweet us, hit us up on Facebook or Instagram, and let us know what your favorite cartoon is as well at Revive_POC. Harmony, what's your favorite cartoon? He even came through with the anime cartoons. He dropped some anime knowledge. I'm like, yo, I have no clue what they talk about, yo. I have never watched anime a day in my life, but he came through. He got me hip to one cartoon, Steven Universe. He got me hip to that, yeah. So that's different. That's different. You never know who you meet. They teach you to do tricks. You know what I'm saying? But what's your favorite cartoon?
So I think I'm in love with Proud Family and then Hey Arnold. Those two are probably my favorite. They're totally different. But with Proud Family, it's just the family just coming together and the different characteristics and personalities of the family with Proud Family. And shout out to Solange, because I never knew until this year, excuse my ignorance, but I never knew until this year she was the actual, like, primary singer. Proud Family.
That's her song, not the primary singer. She is the singer. She killed it, as she always does. No, it was Solange. Solange killed that, as always.
But yeah, so I, Proud Family, definitely. I'm just in love with Proud Family. And Penny, she just has so many adventures. Oh, and Kim Possible, thinking about adventures. So I don't know. I'm a cartoon fanatic. So it definitely has to be Proud Family, Kim Possible, and Dexter Laboratory, because I feel as though that in my last lifetime or in my future lifetime, I'm going to be a scientist. Like, I like researching things and creating different projects. So, Dexter Laboratory, Hey Arnold. Did I say Hey Arnold? Kim Possible.
What is one, man? You over here going down a list.
It's not one. I'm limitless, baby. I'm limitless.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
So I definitely have to support my cartoons, Proud Family, Kim Possible, Dexter Laboratory, and Hey Arnold. Those was probably my favorites. I have some other ones, but I'm going to definitely give it to the audience to call in and talk about their favorite cartoons, because if you're 80s, 90s babies, look, your Saturdays mornings was totally different.
Yes, your Saturday morning was totally different. So for me, I'm going to jump in there and I'm going to go with the Wild Thornberrys. Oh, that was my thing, man. I loved the Wild Thornberrys, her imagination, how she could talk to animals, how she moved through nature. All of that was just amazing. She was able to save different animals. She was able to save the planet. She was able to do, you know, create different energy, different, you know, it was just amazing how she moved through nature with, you know, Elijah, the Thornberrys, her sister, you know, the the monkey Darwin, you know what I'm saying? Like just all that together, the creativity, the imagination that they put that cartoon in was amazing, and I needed that in my childhood in order for me to understand that nature is, you know, body. And that's kind of what E was saying too. But that's what I'm saying. Mother Nature is who it is. Like Mother Nature is it, you know what I'm saying? But that's what E was kind of saying too with what he was trying to do with his anime, what he was trying to do was anime, what he was saying he wants the woman to understand that nature is in the power of it all. And that's what Eliza Thornberry did. That's why I'm shout out to the Wild Thornberries. And then the next one I'm going to say, which actually is a spinoff. No, I'm just saying, because you went down a list, but I only got two, which was actually a spinoff from Dexter's Laboratory, which was the Powerpuff Girls. So the Powerpuff Girls was my thing, man. I truly, truly love Powerpuff Girls because they just told us that we can be badasses too. You know what I'm saying? We could be badasses too, and then at the same time, we could be loving, tender, caring, and we can shed tears all at the same time. So that's why I super love the Powerpuff Girls, and it was actually a spinoff of Dexter Laboratory. So they came about because of, you know, a mixed up kind of chemical experience that Dexter messed up on, and poof, popped out all three of them. Amazing, yeah. Be like that sometimes.
It does be like that, just creating certain things and not knowing what you're creating, but understanding your creation is powerful, baby. So believe in your power and share that power.
And you know who's sharing that power, though? Because you corny, by the way, but I ain't going to talk about that. But you know who's also sharing that power, too? And I'm totally feeling him, though, to switch the conversation. Waka Flocka, bruh. Waka Flocka had a message for us, dog. And he pretty much is saying that, you know, I'm not black. And for everyone who scrutinized me because I went on Shade 45 and said I wasn't black, to hell with you. Like, this is honestly, truly how I feel. And I feel this way. It's because I went and I went seeking and I went to go find and I started reading and I went to do my research and things of that nature to actually find out who I was. You know, my grandma's, you know, this, you know, has this kind of background. My grandfather has this kind of background. So it's different things and different ways that, you know, helped me to start thinking that I am not black. I'm not the air quotes, as he even put it, because I'm a roommate, you know, so I'm on the Shade Room. And I love the message that he put out to address everyone who was scrutinizing him for what he said. And even in that message on Shade 45, he said, yo, I'm ignorant, meaning I'm learning, or I don't know just yet, but I'm figuring out that I am not black. And a lot of people who are African-American right now are lost because they truly think that they're black, when they are not. You know, their parents and their grandparents and their parents' parents came from different, you know, tribes and different areas of the world and, you know, different backgrounds. And that can really, truly, you know, separate you from just being the normal, air quote, black American. And that's what he was saying. I super love that. And people are trying to say that, oh, his delivery was whack. No, your understanding was whack. Your subconscious mind is whack because you don't have, you know, the thought process to think bigger, wider, broader to what he was trying to say. You first went through, oh, you're not black. Look at you. You just call me a N-I-G-G-A, blah, blah, blah. No, that is acting a certain way, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? But we're not black, the American black. We're the only, like, I would say that black people are the only, I don't even know how I say it. I want to make sure I'm saying this right, because I don't want to put myself in a situation either. But I'm just saying that we are lost. We're lost as a people because we don't know where we come from. Because, you know, when we were born, we were not put in a situation to learn our heritage or to learn our background or to learn about, you know, exactly where we come from, because we read textbooks that come from European people. So it's impossible for us to truly, truly understand where we come from and who we are until we actually go do that research that Waka is talking about. And wake up, people. Wake the hell up, bro. Like, you are over here scrutinizing this man because he said he wasn't black, but then you're over here confusing the goose when it comes to a lot of other different things that's going on in the world. You know what I mean? Like, most people don't even know that Colin Kaepernick is mixed race. You know what I'm saying? He's not a full black man. You know what I mean? And have you guys even asked him how he identifies? You know what I mean? But I stand with Cap because his reasonings and everything he's trying to do has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It never had anything to do with Donald Trump. Donald Trump just put his orange self in the middle of it all. You know what I'm saying? But what were you going to say, Harmony?
No, I was just going to say, definitely, like, people lost the the reasoning behind why Kaepernick even kneeled. You know, they is so many distractions with the flag, with Donald Trump, with so many other distractions that they're not realizing the meaning behind him kneeling. And there's no disrespect in anything, but just the fact of the inequality justice that he's kneeling to. That's as simple as that. Years down the line, two African American men raised their fists in the Olympics, being the first Olympics to read more into that. So this is nothing new. This is something that is a cycle. But also just with the Waka Flocka and just identifying himself as not black. He also said, like, his grandma is not a Crayola. Is that how you say it? Crayola? Yeah, the crayon. Because if you really look in...
I'm not sure. I don't want to play myself. Crayola is a crayon, man. You're
right,
playing yourself.
No. He said that his grandma is not a Crayola, and that's why he's not black. Because if you really look into it, black is not a color.
We all know that.
Right, but people call us black. People call them white. And these are not color. These are contracts. These are darkness. So when you really look into the literal way of what we are calling ourselves, it's like, okay, so what am I? And so that's, I feel like that's what he was explaining more, is like doing more research, because we're so conditioned and listening to what we're automatically told and not doing our research for ourselves of who our backgrounds are from, or where our backgrounds are from. I would love to do an ancestry and kind of see just exactly where I came from, because maybe, you know, my ancestors didn't only come from Africa. Slaves were not just in Africa. Like, slaves were everywhere, like literally everywhere, mentally, physically, spiritually. Come on, let's talk about it. So when it comes to that, you really have to do your research of where you come from. And I think that's what mostly he was explaining, is that he traveled the world and he read, you know, did his research and read more books about it. But also what I wanted to point out was To Kill a Mockingbird. It was a book that was, a book that it's supposed to be in middle schools, like in middle schools, as we read to one of the registered books to read in schools. And this book was teaching students of compassionate empathy that doesn't depend upon race or education. And Kenny Holloway, one of the vice presidents in Mississippi Schools District, is saying that the district received a complaint that these books' languages makes people uncomfortable. So this novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, I'm not sure if any of y'all have read it. But if you have read it, please call in 215-490-9832 and give your own your meaning behind it and what you took from the book. But just a novel that's dealing with the racial inequality in a small town in Alabama. And to figure out that that book doesn't make people comfortable. Well, if you're teaching people comfortability about racism in America, then you have students that are raised to be comfortable with racism. And I think that's what's important, is just like, people are going to be uncomfortable. But what are we doing to actually say the truth? To get the truth out there about people's history, because no, everybody's not going to resonate with it well. But also, just, is it the truth or is it a made up story? Christopher Columbus, air quotes.
It's actually, but Christopher Columbus' story is the truth. Like, it actually happened. He actually came over here and he stole the land from the indigenous people, huh?
It was Native Americans before that, and they don't tell that story in schools. And I think that was like my point. It's just because you have to do your research, how Waka Flocka was explaining. You have to do your research on your own history, because if you just listen to what you are told in schools, you're not going to get that whole background.
Agreed. I agree. You're not going to get that whole background, but it's also, you know, something that you have to want to go look for. Right. You know what I mean? You have to be willing to want to find out the truth. You have to be willing to want to seek the truth. And some people are okay with being the air quote Black American. So you cannot put that on everyone. You know what I mean? I think that that's where the communication divide and the generation gap starts, and it becomes a little wider and bigger, because some people are okay with being ignorant. Some people are okay with not knowing. Some people are okay with the 9 to 5. You know, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. As much as we try to jam it down everyone's throat, some people are like, yo, I'm okay with just getting up and going to work. So it's not for everyone. So I do understand what you're saying, but that person has to be receptive and have that mindset that they want to actually learn the truth. Because think about the people who are scrutinizing Waka. You know what I mean? They don't want to know the truth. As much as the truth is out there for them to know the truth, they don't want to know the truth. They'd rather sit down and scrutinize and bring someone down, you know, because of some truth that they're putting out there. You know, people don't want to hear the truth. The lie is so popular, people. Like, the lie is popular. The lie is what's hip. The lie is, you know, what everyone wants to feel. The lie is what everyone wants to be a part of. The lie is what, you know, keeps people entertained. The lie is what keeps people going. And the truth is just like, oh, I'm shocked. I gotta stop. I gotta read. I gotta write. I gotta, you know, process differently. I gotta think differently. I have to put more work in. I have to, you know, do things a little bit differently than what I would have done if I didn't know the truth. So that becomes, you know, a different barrier to why people do what they do and why people are still ignorant to, you know, not knowing what Black America is exactly, you know. So shout out to Waka Flocka. I appreciate that. You know, people think of him, you know, as this gangster rap hip hop artist, but, you know, some of these gangster rap hip hop artists are the smartest, you know, people in the, you know, in the game right now, the smartest people who can actually, you know, spit fire and then at the same time spit facts. So that's huge. And I appreciate Waka for doing that. I appreciate him for starting this conversation, you know, in that millennial environment. I appreciate him starting that conversation in a smoke session. You know what I mean? People will, you know, people listen to Waka while they, you know, while they getting it in, while they chilling, and Waka is over there having them starting that conversation. Waka is bringing that conversation into the barbershop. Waka is bringing that conversation to Twitter. Waka is bringing that conversation to the Shade Room. So that's what we need. We need thought-provoking kind of conversations. We don't need people just you know, tweeting people, or, you know, people who make a ASS out of themselves every day on social media to be, you know, the topic of discussion. Let's talk about something with some meat on it, some substance. And that's exactly what Waka did. He said something that sparked some deep conversation, and he said it in a way that people can truly understand. Hey, I'm ignorant, but I got something to say. You know what I'm saying? And y'all either going to listen, hear me, or y'all going to talk about me and be against me. And that's exactly what they did. They chose sides. And I'm standing with Waka on this one. I'm standing with Colin, and I'm standing with Jamil this Sunday evening. So I am not watching any football today. I'm going to be down at that JB John today in Southwest Philly once again. So if you are in the beautiful city of Philadelphia, make sure you guys head down to the JB John starting at 3 p.m. It's from 3 to 6. It's a free event for the community in Philadelphia, Southwest Philly. I know people are going to be there heavy, going to have the kids out. I hope the weather once again permits it so we can just have a great time. Free food, free games, free different events, free live music for you to jam to for a couple hours. Come get this free food, y'all. Stop tripping and come get this free food. Definitely. Man, everybody love free food. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, I'm be down there trying to grab some great interviews, trying to get it popping with some great interviews, take some great pictures with different community folks, network. Just going to be fun. It's going to be a great, fun time. I love having fun in the community. So definitely check us out on both, all three now, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after our quick commercial break, we should be having our next guest come up on Revive. Once again, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So our next guest is going to show you and tell you how you can stay in shape all year round, not just during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, not just through the month of October, not just for this next 31 days, but how you can do it for the entire 365 day a.m. to the p.m. 24/7, man. So shout out to our next guest. I'm extremely excited to be talking with her. She is someone who is in shape and is fit, man. When I say fit, I mean fit, y'all. So if y'all ready to get, you know, get right for the winter, you know, because summer about to come, you gotta hibernate, get that stomach right, get them abs popping, you know what I'm saying? This is what we trying to do on Herma Vibe. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl POC. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know that every 19 seconds, someone is diagnosed with breast cancer? And every 74 seconds, someone in the world dies from it? These are not just statistics, but mothers, daughters, sisters, friends. The good news is that about 98% of women who detect and treat breast cancer early experience positive results, having at least a 5-year relative survival rate, and most of them living with no evidence of the cancer after treatment. So don't let a loved one become another statistic. Be proactive, especially during this Breast Cancer Awareness Month. First, get better informed about this disease by visiting websites such as the National Breast Cancer Organization or the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And then help spread the word by making sure your daughter knows about self-breast exams, encouraging your friends to get a yearly mammogram, urging your loved ones to go for their regular checkup once a year, and last but not least, making time for yourself to schedule an appointment with your doctor. These are all simple ways you can help your family, friends, and yourself to detect breast cancer before it progresses. From the MacFM community, we want you to know that you can make a difference in the fight against breast cancer. Remember, early detection is our best protection.
21st century stuff, right? This is Leslie Visser, Linda Cohn, Jackie McMullen, Susie Colbert. They all deserve better. My mom, my wife, my sister who knows sports. Why don't guys just sometimes get it? It's not that hard.
Well, with Cam, we've talked in the past about maturity, right? So then you hear this statement, and you're like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. Remember, you know, a couple years ago when the Panthers was in the Super Bowl, and mm-hmm. we all saw that post, you know, the post-game meltdown from
right.
Cam. So
2 minutes and out.
Right, exactly. So now if you're looking at this whole statement, it's like, this guy still doesn't get it. He really doesn't get it now. When is the maturation of Cam Newton's going to really happen? Because guess what? There are a lot of guys that never played football, and they don't mm-hmm. know anything about the game of football. So to make that statement is just totally ridiculous.
And there'll be an apology coming because somebody will get a hold of him with the Panthers and say, hey, you can't say stuff like that. But how do we get him in an age when we've had female referees, there are now female assistant coaches, how do we get – he's not probably the only one here. How do we get him to actually understand and not just say the right thing but understand the right thing?
Well, I mean, he's a grown man. He's a grown man. I don't know – in this day and age, you can't hold these guys and try to make – these guys should understand by now. I mean, we have, you know, female assistant coaches. We have
right.
female referees. I mean, if these guys don't get it by now, I don't know what else is going to make these guys wake up and understand that the game of football is evolving and changing.
Maybe it's like the running game. You just got to keep pounding and pounding and pounding eventually.
Pound the rock.
It'll work on it.
The one person who may have information on the reclusive gunman's motive arrived in the United States on Tuesday night. FBI agents escorted Stephen Paddock's girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, through Los Angeles Airport when she landed from the Philippines. Police say she was overseas during Sunday's shooting, but will be questioned about the cache of weapons found in Paddock's hotel room and inside the two homes the couple shared.
Currently, 47 firearms have been recovered. These firearms were recovered from three different locations. Those locations consisted of the hotel room, as well as Verde and Mesquite, Nevada. They were purchased in Nevada, Utah, California, and Texas. The gunman purchased rifles, shotguns, and pistols.
Police have released body camera video of the shootings from the Mandalay Bay Hotel as 20,000 concert goers ran and hid from the barrage of bullets coming from above. Police officers struggled to locate the source of the gunfire.
He fired off and on for somewhere between 9 and 11 minutes.
Police say Paddock, holed up inside a hotel suite on the 32nd floor, installed a camera in the door's peephole and two more in the hallway to monitor the approach of police. A hotel security guard was shot in the leg as he neared Paddock's suite. SWAT officers broke in hours later to find he'd committed suicide.
We had patrol officers actually working another event at the Mandalay Bay who heard the shooting, and they took it upon themselves to form up into a team, enter the stairwell, begin ascending the floors, and also evacuating hotel guests.
Paddock's family history is also emerging. His father, Benjamin Paddock, was at one time on the FBI's most wanted list for bank robbery and theft.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Yes, 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 yes. We are back live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. It's me, your girl, POC. I'm holding down the airwaves from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Sunday and each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. here on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Make sure you guys tune in. And, man, we're holding it down on DG Radio each and every Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you click that link in the bio. Make sure you guys stay tuned for What the Fact, coming up by your girl Tali Avina each and every Monday starting around the 8:35 time frame. Yo, call in right now. The question of the day is, what is your favorite cartoon in honor of Youth Awareness Week? We're starting it off here on Revive. Today makes the first day of Youth Awareness Week, and we want to know, what is your favorite cartoon? Telephone number 215-490-9832. Once again, 215-490-9832, or you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Once again, that's Revive_POC. Yo, Harmony, we about to do something big for the people, man. This Monday on DG Radio, we are going to be starting our first web series entitled Mic Check Reviving the Airways. Once again, entitled Mic Check Reviving the Airways. We're going live this Monday. We're going to have your boy David Blanco in the building, holding it down, recording us to help us start our first episode of our web series. We're going to do the web series every third Monday of the month on Revive. We're going to have different guests coming into the Revive studio, well, DG studio, while Revive is live on Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And we're just going to have a great conversation. You never know what the conversation is going to be about. You never know who you're going to see on the mic with your girl POC. This Monday is going to be epic. We're going to have about 5-6 people on the mic with us on Monday, man. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great, I don't even want you guys to think about it as like a panel conversation. It's just a super meetup on the airways. It's just like, yo, mic check is my mic on. Everyone who has a platform, everyone who has a voice, everyone who is educating and re-educating the people is invited to join us on Mic Check Reviving the Airways every third Monday on DG Radio. Man, make sure you guys stay tuned from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yo, Harmony, you ready? You ready?
Mic check 1-2-1-2. Mic check 1-2-1-2. Hey.
People really knew how corny you was, though. Like, that's the crazy part, man. People really knew how corny you was. But yes, how you feeling, though, about this web series that we'll be starting on Monday?
I'm excited because it's so many different minds coming together and sharing their own perspectives. I think it's going to be a great conversation, especially on Revive at DG Station. So please definitely tune in on Monday, October 16th, 2017, starting at 8 p.m. This is going to be a show you don't want to miss. I mean, every show is a show you don't want to miss. But we're definitely going to be doing some big things at Revive at DG Station. So I'm excited about it. Honestly, I'm excited about it.
Definitely. And we do have our next guest coming up on the Revive platform as well. I'm excited to be speaking with her. What she's doing is on a whole nother level. Yo, Harmony, who we have coming up on the Revive platform today, man? We got to get the people ready. We got to get them in shape. And this next guest is definitely going to be the one to do it, man. How she's doing it is incredible and very, very, very innovating. Yo, Harmony, go ahead and introduce the next guest here on Revive.
Definitely. So this is so important. So please definitely tune in right now on Revive at timeforanawakening.com/revive and call in and join the conversation. But we have Triona. Triona, she has been in sports her entire life. However, her journey started of health and wellness in about 11th grade when her cousin D-Ray was diagnosed with bone cancer and was given 3 months to live. She was seriously committed to health and sports in college when she realized her nutrition played a vital role in her performance. She is now an independent track coach and personal trainer, building her brand, Triona's Fit in Five, to decrease child obesity and being aware of breast cancer. It's so great to have you, Triona. Thank you for welcoming to the Revive platform.
Hi, it's Triona.
How are you doing, Triona? How are you feeling
today?
Thanks for having me. No doubt. Thank you for coming on the Revive platform today. I appreciate your support.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate what you guys are doing with the breast cancer awareness.
Yes. So go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself. I know she just introduced you, but go ahead and tell the people a little about what you do.
Okay, so I am a track coach, an independent track coach, and I'm a personal trainer. I'm a fit mom, so I'm encouraging all the moms to get out there, stay active. And I am going on tour this month and every October for breast cancer awareness, and not only for women, for men too, because men also get breast cancer. If people don't know that, men are, they do get breast cancer as well. So that's just a little bit about myself. That's what I'm doing right now, encouraging the fit moms to stay active and, you know, get your babies involved. That's why I do a little childhood obesity section of everything. So we can be healthy and get our children healthy and keep them in sports, keep them active.
Yes, that's important. And our first lady, Michelle Obama, told that was important as well, because children obesity is taking over in like a new high. You know what I mean? Like parents are just feeding their children so many different things that is making them to be obese. What is one thing that you found that, you know, children are, you know, actually eating and intaking very often that is creating the obesity?
What I actually found in a lot of the ingredients that children intake is high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is actually in our children's formula, and we don't notice that. So that's the one thing I'm like, I'm going to breastfeed. I'm going to make sure I breastfeed so my daughter can get the best nutrition. And it actually helps their brain. It actually helps their IQ. And I'm like, what? It helps their IQ for you to breastfeed? Yeah, that's crazy. But that's like one of the things. If we take high fructose corn syrup out, if we stop giving them candy, because high fructose corn syrup is in
everything, almost
it's
everything.
It's in their juices, in their formula. It's in, you know, these snacks that we give them. And we think they're healthy snacks, but it's like 50% natural flavors, 50% artificial flavoring. And that 50% of artificial flavoring is that high fructose corn syrup that our body cannot digest.
That's crazy. So do you teach them this as you're creating a different workout for, you know, each individual? Are you teaching them, you know, the breakdown of it all as well, of what they're eating as well?
Oh, yes, definitely. I do have a certification in sports nutrition. So as the sports nutritionist side, I make sure that what we're doing equates and equivalates to what they're eating also, because if we're eating a high amount of calories and a high amount of carbs and a high amount of fat, then that workout really means nothing, because it's coinciding with each other. It's knocking each other out. And that's the one thing I do play a big part on is nutrition, because we can't outwork a horrible diet. And that's like cliche to say, but you can't do that. It's like, okay, if I'm intaking 100 or 1,000 calories of negative food, like Oreos and Ho-Hos, and I'm working out, like, I'm going to be drained because I'm not getting the proper nutrition in my body to fuel my body to gain muscle and decrease fat. So I definitely tell I make my clients smoothies, I make them salads, I make them vegetable plates, like anything they need, I'll make sure I'm there so they can get every 100% out of their workout and out of me for personal training and sports nutrition.
I'm with it. And where are you actually located right now?
I'm actually located in Atlanta, Georgia right now.
And so by you being in the, you know, the southern part of America, do you see diets being different, you know, in the south than, you know, I know you're traveling during your thing as well. So do you see diets from the south through the north, through the west coast, you know, Midwest? Do you see a difference in a diet?
Yes, I definitely see a difference in a diet. Like here in Atlanta, sweet tea is like their number one thing. Like, they have sweet tea, they have fried okra, they have like the best food, but it's like, oh my gosh, the southern food will get you sick really, really fast. So it's really good, and like that Georgia peach thing is like really, really true here in Atlanta. So I don't know if it's what like we're eating or whatever, but when I went to LA, they have like a whole bunch of vegan spots up there. People are like skinny. In Illinois and Chicago, it's a little bit different because it's winter. I go for them in the winter time, so they probably are a little bigger in the winter because, you know, eating comfortable food and your clothes. So it's like, oh, I don't care about my body because it's winter time anyways. No one's going to see me. But
that's
definitely a difference.
I was going to say, that's definitely what everyone is saying. Like, yo, it's the winter time. I'm going to cover it up with a coat or, you know, a hefty sweater, yeah, or a hoodie. That's definitely the thing when it comes to the winter. But how important would you say that you actually have to be, you know, in the winter? Do you think that, you know, being healthy all year round is the key? Or do you think that there are certain parts of the year where you can take, you know, days off?
Oh, I think the winter time is vital because when you're trying to get this summer body that everybody's talking about, this mm-hmm. bikini body, it's like, but you didn't work out in the winter time. You were eating in the winter time. So that 3 to 6 month period where you're trying to get snacked back and, you know, in shape for the summer, it's like you should have really been doing it in the winter time. Like, I wear a lot of clothes when I go to the gym because I'm trying to sweat it all out. I'm not trying to look like an IG model and, you know, flaunt it in the gym. No, when I'm in the gym, I'm serious. I'm going hard, you know. So people are in there, they taking pictures in the gym with thongs on them, just like, you know, girl, I'm really trying to get right. And I want my followers to see that. And I want them to know, like, this is a real me. I'm actually working out. I probably look like a bum in the gym, but under these clothes, when I take them off, please believe that you're going to see that bikini body, that summer body that you're trying to attain, you know?
That's so awesome.
I think wintertime is like the best time to actually get in shape.
That's awesome. And by you saying people are taking pictures, you know, in thongs when they're in the gym and things of that nature, that leads me to my next question. Do you feel that social media has watered down, you know, the gym intensity? You know, because people are just going in there, let's bust a sweat for 10 minutes and then go and take a picture and say, you know, I just had the best workout of my life. How do you feel how do you feel that social media has watered down, you know, the whole gym intensity of it all?
Okay, so there are a lot of nip and tuck and, you know, boob enhanced and booty enhanced things that those women do and that social media doesn't really realize. But there's a lot of people that are like, okay, this is me standing up and this is me sitting down. Like, you're going to have creases in your stomach. You're not going to be as perfect as you think someone else looks on social media. That's what we have to realize. We're not, you know, we have to get to the gym and eat for ourselves, not to be like, oh, I want to look like her. Yeah, that's awesome to have a goal, but do you really know her? You know, like people, they see me and they're like, oh my gosh, you really look like this in person. Like, oh my goodness, I didn't think that. But it's like, because I don't play around with my nutrition. Like, my boyfriend even said it. He was like, dang, you really watch what you eat. And I'm like, yeah, because I don't want to be a closet fat person or whatever and acting like I'm skinny on social media, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's just a real world out there, and people need to realize that little young girls, they want your body, they want to look like this, they want to have better self-confidence, but if you're not putting out the truth for those girls, they're just running themselves in a circle, and it definitely does water down the real gym life to what you really have to do in the gym to get that body or what you really have to eat to get that body.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I do commend the people that post what you eat and, you know, don't be ashamed of it. Even if you do eat a pizza, like some people, they eat pizza, but they have mushrooms and vegetables and stuff like that on it. So they can say, oh, okay, you know, I can eat this every once in a while, or I can eat this if I have a balanced diet. I'm not pigging out every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. How did you actually, let's jump into Fit in Five. How did you actually come up with that name? That's kind of creative. How did you come up with Fit in Five?
Okay, so the Fit in Five plays a psychological role on your mind. So if I can wake up and you dread getting to the gym, and I know that's all of us, that's even me, I'm like, I don't really want to work out today, but I know I have to work out. So tricking myself like, okay, I'm only going to go to the gym for 5 minutes. I'm going to stay there for 5 minutes. I know in the back of my head, when I get to the gym, I'm hungry. I want my body. I want to look good. I want to be putting on that bikini. And I want to, you know, not even a bikini. I want to look good for my birthday. My birthday was last Saturday. So I want to look great. And, you know, that's a fall month. So I'm like, I want to look great for my birthday. So I'm not really going to stay there for 5 minutes. I'm going to get it in. Let's go. You know, let's go hard. Though when we go to the gym, I'm not playing around. I'm not watching TVs at the gym. I'm not sitting around. I'm high-intensity interval training while I'm at the gym so I can burn everything that I want. So I'm at least, yes, if I tell myself, okay, I'm going to go there for 5 minutes, I'm going to at least be in there for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, you know? So another thing about the Fit and Five is I started doing 5 minutes, like exactly 5 minutes of abs before bed every single night.
Awesome.
I would do abs, or I would do like push-ups or something to keep me active. Before Goals. I got in the shower, I'll do my 5 minutes abs. And I'm like, okay, let's hit these abs hard. Let's not do the easy ones and be lazy. Let's give me a really great, hard 5 minute ab workout consistently. So the Fit and Five came from really being consistent with my efforts and being healthy. And then I'm like, you know what, guys? I'm going to do a challenge. I'm going to send out a free 5 minute workout. And I did this like, I think 2 years back, and people were sending me pictures. They're like, oh my gosh, I did this Fit and Five workout for a week and look at my stomach already. And that's awesome. Where really it came from. But I have to change it because, someone stole it from me.
Oh man. People always hating, man. People, when they see somebody doing great, they always hate. And that, how they going to take your name? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wow. But shout out to you.
It's bigger and better things coming. So
exactly.
I'm not
what's for you is for you. I'm definitely feeling that one. Exactly. How would you say, or what kind of advice would you give to get to someone who needs to get as disciplined as, you know, as you, when it comes to just sitting down for 5 minutes and busting out how many abs you can in 5 minutes? Like how can someone get disciplined? Like, that's just the question. Because me, myself, I know for a fact I need to be disciplined as well, especially when it comes to the whole working out environment, because I get lost in my busy schedule and it always feel like I don't have 5 minutes. So for you to come up with that Fit and Five, you know, kind of analogy is amazing. And then to know it started by you just saying, you know what, I want to sit down and I'm going to do 5 minutes worth of ab workout. Like, how do you, how would you encourage someone, or what kind of advice would you give to someone to actually get disciplined?
Okay, so that's where my got goals thing came from. Like, you got goals, right? You know, do you have goals? You know, so if I have a goal of what I want to look like and what I want to achieve, this is not only in fitness, but in everything. I'm going to think about my goal every single day. I'm going to write on a piece of paper, I'm going to hang it up, or I'm going to hang a picture of how I used to look or whatever, or, you know, I'm going to hang that up and I'm like, you know what? If I can't do this for myself, if I can't be disciplined enough to grab the goals or get the goals that I want, then obviously I don't want it bad enough. But when I think to myself, I don't want this bad enough, I don't want to look good bad enough, I'm like, hold on, you know, stop real quick. Okay, I'm going to do it. It's going to force myself to do it, you know? It's like,
amazing.
Like even hair, you know? People are like, oh, I want long hair. Well, you have to be disciplined and consistent to get the hair goals you want. Like, in anything in life, you have to consistently think of that every single day, or you just don't want to battle it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just comfortable with myself. That's what you say to yourself. Oh, I'm just comfortable with myself. And then when you think, I'm not comfortable with myself, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you put on your wall, I want to look great, or I want to be fit, or I want to have long hair, or I want to have curly hair, or whatever it may be. I want to be rich. Whatever it is, if I put that on my wall, I want to be rich, and then, or I want to be wealthy, or I want to be stable, or I want to be financially free. If I put that on my wall, and then I look at it in the morning, and I'm like, but I'm lazy, though. It's like, okay, I really don't want to be wealthy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have my dreams. I don't want to have my goal body. And then when you think to yourself, like, yes, I really do want that. So you're going to do that, whatever. You're going to get on the floor at 5 a.m. or 12 p.m. at night or whatever, or 12 a.m. at night or whatever, and you're going to bust out those abs. Are you going to wash your hair, condition it? Or you're
definitely
gonna, you know, you're going to get up out the bed you know, it just has to be that why statement to be disciplined every single day, because it really does take consistency in whatever. And you doing your radio show, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely. Thank you. And that also goes back to that old notion, like, people make time for what they want to make time for. So that makes a lot of sense, too, about what you said, because if you really want, you know, to be rich, if you really want to be wealthy, you really want long hair, you really want to be fit, you know, you really want to go chase your dreams, then you will make time to do that. You know, you always put up an excuse when you feel as though you cannot do something, and that's because you don't really want to go do it. That's, so I agree with you on that one. But about this Fight for Fit tour, though, you know how exciting this is to know that you're going to be traveling around, you know, the America, just pretty much hitting almost city to city, amazing cities. You're going to be in Georgia, you're going to be in Chicago, you're going to be in St. Louis. That's huge, especially with everything that's going on in St. Louis. So for you to come there and put a different spin on things, you know, to get people aware of breast cancer awareness, to get people in the fit state of mind, the in shape state of mind, like, how did you come up with this tour? This is not your first tour, is it?
No, this is actually my fourth annual tour. Yes. Doing this. And I just said I was going to do it. Like, I needed gas money to get back home after I graduated college. I'm like, you know what? I told my sister, let's do a tour. Like, every city we go to, it's going to get bigger and bigger, and people are going to start knowing about us or whatever. Let's just do it. And then I did one in Tampa, Florida, where I went to school at USF, Go Bulls. And I did one in Orlando, Florida. I knew a few people there. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to every single state where it goes to my house, you know? I did one in Tennessee. And then people are like, oh, my gosh, you know? And they were, like, amazing. I did one in St. Louis. And that was just so amazing. College students come out. They support mm-hmm. you. And you know, I was taking a tour. I was sightseeing. I was getting gas money to go home. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, now it's getting so big. I don't even need any more gas money. I can go home with it. So it started off something super small, a little goal that I had. And I was just like, I know some people will come out to my fit camp. I'm just charging $5. I started off charging $5. And every single state or every single city, I got enough gas money to get to the next city. So I was going an hour or 2 hours away. I would host a boot camp, and this was like a matter of a few days apart from each other. So Tampa was one day, the next day was Orlando, and then like 2 days later it was like Nashville. A few days later was St. Louis, Missouri, and then I went to Springfield, Illinois. A few people came there. That's when I had a kids fit camp, and then I went to Rock Island, Illinois, which was my hometown. And that was, like, huge. That was, like, amazing. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited to see you. A former Hall of Famer or whatever, track star. So everyone came in. They showed out at the fit camp.
That's amazing. To know that you started something just off the humble, you know, trying to get gas to get back home, and then now it's turned into a whole tour. Was it always sponsored or not sponsored? Was it always, you know, geared to breast cancer awareness? Was it always geared to breast cancer awareness?
It actually wasn't always geared towards breast cancer awareness. From cancer, it was bone cancer. So that's what fueled my passion to do this. I was like, you know what? I have to get my family in shape. I have to get them healthy. I have to be the one that keeps continuing to do this, you know? So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to make it a family thing. I didn't even know it was going to be this big as me trying to, you know, get everybody in the world healthy and fit and strong and, you know, mentally stable or whatever. So it didn't start with breast cancer, but then I found out, and I had my mom, she had breast cancer scares when I was growing up, and she would put us on all these healthy regimens and, you know, apple cider vinegar shots and wheatgrass smoothies and, you know, crazy stuff. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, this is so nasty, but I'm going to do it for it so we can be healthy, you know?
Yes.
So us as a family and as a culture and as a, you know, a society, we have to get better. And I was just like, you know what, I'm going to do this for my family and for my people. And you know what? I don't even care anymore. I'm going to do it for everybody. You know,
definitely.
I don't want people to struggle with their children having childhood obesity. I have a client right now that she's struggling with childhood obesity. So we're trying to knock that off of her. But two people in my family right now have breast cancer, and they're in the same family. It's a mom and a daughter. So it's like, super vital for me this year to like kill it, because they are struggling, you know, financially and like mentally. They're thrown off by this because it's like in the same family, and I'm like, you know what, this is we can help this, you know. They're
definitely
sister, her sister actually had a biopsy or whatever it's called, and she actually she's cured from cancer. So now they have it, the mom and the daughter, they have it, and they're just like so sad about it. I'm just like, you know what, this is not something to be sad about. Like, let's be healthy, let's get fit, like let's start working out, let's eat healthy, like whatever you need from me, I'll do it. If you need me to do a breast cancer awareness tour, I'm in.
Shout out to you.
My family mostly. Yeah, and I think it's just going to be amazing turnout, and I think it's going to help more breast cancer people and people that have cancer. Like, just because you have breast cancer, that doesn't, you know, exclude you from whatever. Like,
exactly.
I started with my cousin, he had bone cancer, so I just want to help everybody.
And I see your vision. I definitely see your vision. I definitely see what you're doing. That's why I was excited to have you on the show. That's why we reached out, because what you're doing is something different. You're innovating the game to say, you know, even though, you know, you may have breast cancer or you have someone in your family that has breast cancer, we can still help you. You know, you still are a human. You still can get up. You can still enjoy life. You can work out. You can get fit. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be into yourself or depressed or anything of that nature. We can help you in other ways, you know, such as feeling healthy. You know, your health is your wealth, you know, and sometimes just getting up and, you know, busting a sweat can bring a beautiful day to come, you know, because the rest of your day, all you know is the beginning of the day, you worked out, and then you have the rest of your day to get done whatever you have to do. So I think that what you're doing is amazing, and I thank you for doing what you're doing, because this is incredible, you know, different women coming, and then also you're bringing people together who may not, you know, have joined into the same circle or may not have been in the same environment if it wasn't for you, because now they can start different conversations, right. They can find different workout partners, you know, they can find people who are going through the same situation they are. They can just have someone to talk to now. So I super just love what you're doing, and I thank you for everything you're doing. But I want you to go ahead and give yourself a shout out to how people can find, you know, more information, your Eventbrite, how they can sign up if they're in a city near you, how they can find you.
Okay, so if you're sitting near me, please go to flexfight.eventbrite.com. That's flexfight.eventbrite.com. You can also follow me on social media at TriannaFitting5. And to nominate someone for a wig that has cancer or alopecia, please email me or DM me that person's name. And my mom, she's a hairstylist. She's been making wigs for 25 years. She'll make them a custom wig. We'll ship it out or we'll fly out to actually fit their head. So please email me at TriannaFitting5@gmail.com or DM me at TriannaFitting5, and we'll get that to you guys. Just nominate the person that you want to receive this, and hopefully that'll build some self-confidence in them, and hopefully, you know, they'll feel amazing, they'll feel beautiful with their hair, because, you know, cancer people or cancer patients or alopecia patients, they lose their hair. So we want to, you know.
That's awesome. Shout out to you.
And love and all of that into them.
Yeah, shout out to you and your mom. That's a great combination. That's how you keep it, you know, in the family right there. That's a great way to keep it in the family. Shout out to you and your mom. So yes, if you are someone who needs a great wig, a styled wig, things of that nature, please reach out to her. Send her that email one more time. Can you give us your email one more time so we can go ahead and put it on our social media as well?
It's TriannaFitting5@gmail.com, TriannaFitting5@gmail.com.
That's what's up. I appreciate you for that. Thank you for giving my audience, you know, something to look forward to if they do have a family member or a friend. I appreciate that once again. I hope you have a great week.
Thank
I hope your tour kicks off and everything, you know, just jumps off the way that you plan it to go. I see your vision, and I hope people continue to support it. Thank you once again.
Thank you for having me on the show.
No doubt. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
So that wraps up a great interview, man. Go out there and support her right now. We're putting her information out on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so you can go ahead and send her that email. If you know someone who is in need of a wig, man, that's amazing. That's a shout. That's a huge shout out right there, man. Shout out to her mom for even, you know, wanting to donate wigs, you know, because some people selfish. And her mom, like, you know what? I'm going to donate, and then I'm also going to support my child all at the same time. And that's what makes it bigger. You know what I mean? Creating that generational wealth, that nepotism that we're all looking for. Shout out to them, man. That's big. That's really, really big. But once again, it's me, your girl POC. We are going to wrap up this episode of Revive today. Thank you for everyone who was listening and supporting. Shout out to both of our guests for holding it down here on Revive. Their information is out on our social media right now. Subscribe to that beautiful Revive newsletter. Go to timeforanawakening.com/revive. Scroll down where you're going to see the word subscribe. Click that link. It's going to take you directly where you need to be to subscribe to the Revive newsletter. Click that blue button on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Follow us right now on Revive_POC, man. Call in. We need you guys to call in, communicate, and engage with us each and every time we get on the airways. 215-490-9832. The question of the day is going to be going on all day. We want to know, what is your favorite cartoon character in honor of Youth Awareness Week? Catch us in Philly today around 4 p.m. We're going to be pulling up to the J.B. John in Southwest Philly. Come take a picture with your girl POC. Come get a great interview, man. If you're somebody who's trying to get on Revive as a guest, hit me up right now at revive.poc@gmail.com. Shout out to the whole Revive team. Yo, we're going live on DG Radio tomorrow at 8 p.m. Tune in to your girl POC. Mic check. We're going to be reviving the airwaves tomorrow. Yes, you know what time it is, man. Yo, Harmony, they not ready. You think they ready?
They getting ready. They going to get ready. Let's make them ready.
Let's get it. We'll be back on Revive. We'll be back on timeforanawakening.com/revive. I'm excited about tomorrow in this web series. We'll be back on Time for an Awakening on Wednesday, on this winning Wednesday with your girl Tab Money. She will be holding it down from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you guys stay tuned. You know what time it is. DG tomorrow starting at 8. Tune in.